Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good, so good to me. The sun, the rain, my life celebrates. You are good, my good. With the cry of praise, my heart will proclaim. You are good, you are good. In the sun, the rain,
King of Kings calls me his own. I'm yours forever, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me.
Go before. for me. Your love surrounds me, changing the atmosphere. Can I hide from your spirit? You meet me there. Spirit, you meet me there. Where can I go from your presence? Where can I hide from your spirit? You find me there. Spirit, you find me there. From the highest heights to the lowest lows, from the mountain top to the valley below. You don't walk out when I threaten to. You are steady when I can't be still. Your love finds me and it always wins. You don't give up when I do. You don't walk out when I threaten to. Shine your light on us. Oh, you meet me here. Spirit, you meet me here. Always embracing, never rejecting. Your kindness drawing near. You meet me here. Spirit, you meet me here. Always embracing, never rejecting. Your kindness drawing near. Oh, you meet me here.
God, thank you so much for your presence here with us. We just slow down and quiet our minds and quiet our hearts, and we recognize your presence here with us. We thank you for meeting with us. And we know that as we've gone about our weeks, as we've even gone about our mornings, our minds and our hearts have have drifted in various places, even drifted away from you, but your eyes have never drifted from us. So we thank you, God, that you are keenly aware of everything that we're going through. Thank you that you're aware of the ways we've lived for you this last week and the ways that we haven't, and that your love remains just the same. Help us to rest in your presence this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. You can go ahead and grab a seat. Just a quick announcement before we release the middle schoolers here this morning. You may have heard last week on Easter, we had this really special announcement. Our church has experienced a bit of a miracle in the last week with about $1 million, 7,000 square foot building being donated to us. And so just a quick recap, if you didn't hear the story, the real short version is we own this building. We were able to pay off the mortgage on this building earlier this year, which is phenomenal. We always leased this building next door for our youth and young adults. We were able to purchase that building, so now it's under our ownership and stewardship, so that's a spectacular thing for us as well. And then we have this grass space. Yeah, we can clap for that one too. That's good news. And then we have this grass space out here where our kids play and different small groups meet and things like that. The former Kidney Center building, 1213 Riverside, is on the other side of that grass. So now we have like a triangle between these buildings, and that's the building that was donated to us about 10 days ago at this point. And yeah, let's clap for that one again. It's worth celebrating frequently, because if you didn't know, million-dollar buildings don't get donated very often. And so we're celebrating that as a church. Really do feel like that's a miracle from God for us. And also we find ourselves now in this humble position of wanting to steward that as best as we possibly can for the kingdom. Realizing that this wasn't a gift for us just to feel good about our church or the momentum in our community, but it was a gift given to us by God so that we can use it to steward his resources, his blessing, and advance the kingdom of God in our city. And so the dream has always been to leverage a space like that to serve under-resourced families in our community with a low income or an affordable daycare opportunity. We're not exactly sure how all those details are going to work. This is where you come in. Because we are sitting, again, in this humble position and just asking God, what do you want us to do? What kind of plans do you have? Clearly, you're up to something, God. How can we join you in this mission of transforming all things? And so we want to enlist you to pray with us. We as a staff have committed the next 6 weeks to not make any major decisions in the next 6 weeks, but instead we are going to be fasting and we are going to be praying, asking for more of God's direction, and we want to invite you into that journey with us. The best way to do that, you know, we've used the weekly many times. If you go to votrweekly.org on your smartphone, you can do this right now. I won't be offended if you pull out your phone while I'm talking. You can click on the little tab that says 1213 Riverside. You can see a short note from me, and then you can see an opportunity to sign up for our prayer team. And what we're going to do is I'm going to email you some promptings every week if you sign up for that list. And then we're going to ask you to pray. And we're going to ask you, because we're at the Vineyard, we're going to ask you to position your heart to maybe even hear from God about a Bible verse or about a word that maybe God is speaking to you about this opportunity. And we're going to invite you to email those things to me. And as a staff, we're going to discern through all those different opportunities and really commit ourselves over the next month and a half to pray about all that God is doing. So please sign up for that if you're into that kind of thing. You want to be part of that prayer team. We'll keep talking about this periodically in the days ahead, but that's how you can participate with us. We really feel like God is going to be doing something spectacular, and we want to stay under that covering as much as we can, and so that's why we're committing ourselves to this type of prayer. Sound good? All right, let's pray, and then we're going to release the middle schoolers and queue up a video for our series. God, thank you again so much for this building that you have given to us. When we reflect back at that, when we look back at that, truly, God, it is your story. It is a miraculous story, and we want to continue to partner with you in all that you're doing. So speak to us. Speak to us about how you want us to move forward. Give us strategy. Give us discernment. And God, help us to minister to so many people that without that space and without your strategy, we wouldn't be able to minister to. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's watch this video, and then Bristol will be up to preach this morning.
Growing up, there was a painting of Jesus in my grandma's church. He had the feathered bangs and a flowing robe with a lavender sash, and he was holding a lamp, so that's how I've always pictured him. But as I read what he actually taught, I got a very different impression. Apparently, he wants me to wash my enemy's feet, and he said we should give all that I own and follow him. He even went so far as saying, give your life as a sacrifice. He seems pretty intense, not just another guy who wants to chill. So what's behind all of these crazy things Jesus said?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Bristow. I'm one of the pastors here. It is really good to see you. Just welcome. Welcome to Vineyard of the Rockies. We find ourselves in kind of the final stretch of a particularly good series. It's been challenging for us. It's crazy things Jesus said. And it's been a 12-week series. It's been split up into four different groups. I wonder if you can remember the names of it. Look for the prompts. The first was go. The second was, can you remember the one? Die. Good. Die. Good. The second was die. Right. Next one is live. And now we're pivoting to the last section, the final stretch. It's about giving. Give. Give is the final subsection. And just to be clear, it's not about giving money. We're not talking about giving money. As a matter of fact, we're looking at this scripture, the passage about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. There's no money exchanged at all in that. It's really the deep giving of ourselves. That's really what we're talking about today. And so the sermon title is I Gave You an Example. I Gave You an Example. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for gathering us. Lord, we pray that you would continue to water the soil of our hearts, the soil of our souls, with your living water. Because that's what we need in this dry and thirsty land in which we find ourselves culturally and even religiously. Lord, we just need you. We are desperate for you. Lord, would you speak to us? Would you give us our marching orders, Lord? Would your power be on this message? And thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Jesus said some crazy things about giving in the scriptures. I mean, some of it just seems kind of impossible to do in the real, actual life. You know what I mean? I mean, like, some of it seems like that can't be quite right, you know? That seems a little bit wrong. Like, serve your enemies. Serve your enemies. Isn't that kind of like being a traitor? It's not kind of like helping the other side. Like, love your enemies. Aren't those opposites? Aren't those kind of mutually exclusive? Like, forgive your enemies. How is that even possible, really, in real life? How is that even possible? Nevertheless, Jesus calls us to give in some crazy ways. And I think that we'll see from the text that really, that God calls us to be givers. And being a giver is not a personality trait, you know, like, oh, that person, they're just givers. That's just how they are, you know. Oh, she's just such a giver, yo. This is how she's. No, that's not true. C.S. Lewis says that Christianity is a kind of giving by which he says that the heart and the soul of Christian life is about giving. The totality of what Christianity is all about. When it's boiled down and it's distilled to its purest essence, is a kind of giving, which means that we're called to be givers. You know, we're not those who are takers. No, we're called to be givers. And so I want to just dive into the text right now. But we're looking at a familiar text. If you brought your Bibles, you can open up to John 13 verses 1 through 17, but we're looking at just 1 through 5 right now. But one of the problems when we look at a very familiar text is that we're a little over-familiar with it. And so what I want to do is something actually that Ronald Pay taught us in the Good Friday service, to smell the smells and to taste. Look, see what is going on in the room here in the Last Supper, where so many dynamics are happening, spiritual and otherwise. And so, if you're a visual learner, read it off the screen. But another way of receiving the Word of God might be to close your eyes. Or if you're a kinesthetic learner, I used to be a teacher. If you're a kinesthetic learner, you might hold your hands out and receive the Word of God as I read it, because it's a very sweet text. And the visual of this text needs to really be embedded on our imagination. So as we look at the text this morning, use your imagination to be there and receive the Word of God. So I'll read it to you now. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. This is just such a stunning visual for us, and so much going on in this text. But a little context: this is the Last Supper. It's the Thursday night before Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. That Friday, they are in a random house in the upper room. There's a long table. The 12 disciples are around the table. Jesus. They're reclining at table, which means they weren't sitting in chairs. They were on a mat and reclining at table. So Jesus is about 18 hours out from being crucified, which means that life for Jesus was taking a very tight focus right now. And the question is, what is now Jesus going to say to the disciples who are going to carry on the mission now that he has them for the very last time? What is he going to say? What are the urgent things that he needs to say? What are the important things that needs to transfer to the disciples? What does he say? He doesn't say anything. There's no dialogue in the text. Isn't that interesting? It's all about what he does. Jesus was a prophet, and he's doing a prophetic act. It's for us. It's the visual. It's the weight of the visual that needs to be embedded on us. What does he do? He starts to wash the disciples' feet. He kneels down before the disciples himself and begins to wash their feet. It's an amazing example that he leaves for us, that we need to have become part of us so we know how to live life. It's an amazing example. And so that's what's going on. So in this text, in this story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, we have two big things going on. Two big things. The first is we have serving. The disciples are allowing Jesus to serve them. That's the first thing. The second thing is forgiving. He's washing their feet. He's cleansing their their feet. It's a symbolic gesture of forgiving. And these two things, serving and forgiving, are two parallel rails of the same railroad track. They're together, and they're going somewhere. And so that's what we have going on in this text. So what I want to do, that's what's kind of going on in the micro. Let's take a few steps back now and kind of get a macro view, a big view of what's going on. And this is what's going on theologically. King Jesus is transforming all things. You might recognize that from our mission statement. Joining God's mission, transforming all things. King Jesus is transforming all things right now. King Jesus is transforming Peter and the way he sees his Messiah. He's transforming the disciples, and we're his disciples too. So let the Word of God transform you right now as you sit here right now. It's transforming our understanding of serving and forgiving. And Jesus is our example, the person. So he's leaving an example, but actually he himself is the example. The Apostle Paul wrote about Jesus. He said, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. There you go. Those are our marching orders. And so that's really what is transforming us. We see the second person of the Godhead becoming a servant to these very ordinary people, fishermen and people like you and me. So we're going to continue on now and unpack the story. But we see three big themes in our story. The first is this: be served. That's the first one. And this is really hard to do. You know why? Because it's so hard to surrender, isn't it? That's the hardest thing to do. That's why so many people don't come to Christ. And I've been taught that by some of you. Surrender. And we see this struggle in Peter, which is what we see in verses 6 through 10. We see the struggle. So watch this and put yourself in that place where Peter is. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter. You will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. So what we've got going on is Peter is not having this, right? Peter is not having this at all. Well, so this is the thing about Peter. Peter had a particular clarity about who Jesus was. Remember, of all the people living in Israel, he was the first one who actually had the epiphany of who Jesus was. Now, everybody knew he was a great prophet. Jesus was famous in Israel. He was a great prophet, right? He was a great miracle worker. He was a great rabbi, great teacher. But Peter was the first one who had the revelation, oh, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. They were clear up in the north part of Galilee when he had that epiphany. And then everything began to change because people started to put the puzzle pieces together. Oh, this is so different. This is so different than what we expected. It's just for Peter, what's going on in the text is this is just too crazy. This is not going to happen for Peter. See, this is the deal. First century Jews wanted a strong and mighty warrior king like David was. King David was famous, not because he had a heart after God, because he was a great warrior. The boundaries of Israel expanded greatly under him. And what the first century Jews wanted was a strong warrior king to kick the Romans out of the Middle East and to set things right. And that is what they want. They did not want a Messiah who is acting like a servant, kneeling down before them and washing their feet. That was just too much. But what Jesus is saying to Peter, and he's saying to us, is that's not how my kingdom works. That's not how it works in my kingdom. Let me give you an example. When my wife Jamie and I were pastoring an international church in the Middle East, in Jordan, there was a guy in our congregation who was a decorated airline captain. And he was one of the top transoceanic, you know, pilots, captains, and he was one of the top guys in this big American airline here. And he recently quit his job. He quit his job, and he actually bought an airline in Jordan himself. So he was the owner of the airline, the airplanes, the airline, all of it. And what he would sometimes do is he would get on the flights and he'd sit in the jump seat in the cockpit and just sort of train the flight crew and the pilots, right? And one of the things about pilots in the country of Jordan, it's kind of funny. It's more prestigious to be an airline pilot than it is to be a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon, because King Abdullah is a great pilot and his father, King Hussein, is a great pilot, and it's just kind of in the culture. So these guys all came from very wealthy backgrounds. They all had servants, and they're kind of full of themselves. And Steve wanted to show the pilots what you need to do if you're going to fly on his airline. So this is what he did. He got up out of the jump seat, and he walked out of the cockpit, back down the aisle to the galley where the flight attendants are, right? And he comes back, and he takes off his captain's hat, and he lays it down. And he takes off his tie, and he puts it in his pocket. And he rolls up his sleeves, and he takes an apron, and he puts the apron on and ties it in back. And there's a trolley cart, and he loads the trolley cart up with sandwiches and soft drinks and chips. And he pushes the trolley cart back up to the cockpit, opens the door, and begins to serve the pilots and the flight crew. And you kind of have to understand the culture, but these people had never seen anything as bizarre as this. They were deeply offended. In fact, they wanted no part of it. But what Pilot Steve was doing is he was teaching him, this is how you have to act if you're going to fly on my airline, because this is how it works on my airline. The greatest, whether you're an airline captain or somebody who washes the airplanes afterward, we serve one another. And that is how it is in the kingdom of God. If you're going to belong to King Jesus, if you're going to work in his kingdom, then you must be served by King Jesus. You must let him serve you. You must let him wash you. You know, we need to let him wash us of our sins. We need to let us wash the world off of us. We need to let him wash what the devil has done off of us. We need to let him have the things that hold us. There's a great hymn that John Wimber wrote. It's called the Spirit Song. Let us have the things that hold us, and his spirit like a dove will descend upon our lives and make us whole. That's being served by King Jesus. We must be forgiven by King Jesus, or we don't have a place because we're too dirty. We need him. We need to be washed. So that's the first thing. Be served. Be forgiven. Second thing is serve one another. Let's move on with the text. Verses 12 through 14. When he had finished washing their feet, he put some of his clothes. He put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me Lord and teacher, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. We are to be serving our fellow believers. After all, Jesus is talking to a room full of disciples, which means that he's talking to you and he's talking to me, because we are every bit as much disciples as the 12. And what he's saying is that you need to serve your church. That's what he's saying. You need to serve your church. I need to serve our church. Now some of us in this room are visitors, and this is not your church. So this is not where you should be serving. Some of us in this room are kind of church hunting. You're doing the hard work of prayerfully finding where you are supposed to be. And this might be your church somewhere, sometime. But some of you have done the hard work of prayerfully saying, no, this is where I'm to be. This is the spiritual home that God has given me. And I want to encourage you to pray about how you are to serve your church. There's a million ways to do it. I've got one friend who comes in every Thursday morning, brings me a cup of coffee, prays for me, leaves. That's how he's serving his church, and a lot of other things he does. But I want to ask you, maybe God is calling you to serve in the nursery. Maybe you need to serve Kim, who works with children's ministry. We have a ton of places for you there. Maybe you need to serve Chaz with youth and young adults, praying for him, helping him. We need hospitality people. We need prayer ministry people. Greg in the back needs prayer ministry people. You can talk to him. There's a lot of ways. There's a women's brunch coming up. We're going to announce a men's event coming up soon. There's a ton of ways. If you're thinking, okay, that's good, I kind of don't even know anybody really yet. Community groups starting this summer, that is the best way to meet people and connect. Because if this is where God has you, you are to serve your fellow believers. And the fellow believers, they live here. That's where fellow believers are. They're right here. But I just want to say one more thing. That if you've been here for any amount of time, and some of you have, you've had to forgive your fellow believers, haven't you? It's the only way you're still here. There's no other way. And believe me, if you've been in the church any amount of time, you've forgiven. Because that's the way forward, isn't it? And so we're also forgiving our church. Maybe some of you need to forgive a pastor. And as a pastor, I just want to ask for forgiveness. Because I'll tell you, Jeff and Natalie, they got a tough job, and you need to be praying for them. And maybe there's someone you need to forgive. I'll just throw that out. Okay, let's move on. Third thing. Serve your enemies. Serve your enemies. Verse 11. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that it was why he said not everyone was clean. So Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. And Jesus served Judas anyway. At this point in the text, Judas has already turned on Jesus. He was already Jesus' enemy. Jesus serves him anyway. It's just amazing to me. He sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus knows that. Judas knows that. Jesus serves him anyway. Jesus washes his feet. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. Such good news. Such good news. Do you know why? Because every one of us in this room was an enemy of Jesus once. And while we were still enemies, Jesus prayed for us. When he was on the cross, he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Such good news. Serve your enemies. Forgive your enemies. Stop holding that grudge against that person, maybe that grudge against an organization. Nikki Gumbel says, when you're holding that grudge against that person or that organization, you're letting them live rent-free in your head. Isn't that good? Why would anyone do that? Why would we do that? God has forgiven you. You must forgive others. It's a choice, but it's not an option. C.S. Lewis said that everybody thinks that forgiveness is a lovely idea until you have to forgive someone. Isn't that true? So the question is for me, in my life, and I'm sure in your life too, is like, I know what I'm supposed to do. I want to be more forgiving. I really do. But how? Like, how does that really happen in real life? I want to give an example of this, and some of you may recognize this story, but this is the best example of how you forgive that I know of. During World War II, there was a Dutch family living in Amsterdam that was hiding Jews from the Nazis. Their name was Ten Boom. And they eventually got found out, and they were sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp. Corey, her sister Betsy, and their father. At Ravensbrück, Betsy's sister Betsy and their father died there. After the war, Corey started preaching in churches all around the world, actually, about forgiveness. She was in Germany preaching, and she finished her message, and the service was over. And there's a man who starts coming down the aisle. She recognizes him immediately, though he didn't recognize her. He'd been the cruelest guard at Ravensbrück. And as he approached her, she got cold and she got angry. The guard said, "I was a guard at Ravensbrück, but I've become a Christian. I did some horrible things, but God has forgiven me. I'd like to take this opportunity to be forgiven by one of my victims, Fraulein Ten Boom." Let's watch.
"Even, will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I said, thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who has given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either. But he can."
Isn't that good news? It's his ability. It's his power. It's his righteousness. That's good news. So, this crazy thing that Jesus said, I want to leave with you, and that's this. Let Jesus be your example. Jesus said, "I have set before you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So be served and be forgiven." That's the way into the Christian life. Serve one another. Forgive one another. That's the way on in the Christian life. Serve your enemies. Forgive your enemies. That's the way through to the end. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would embed that stunning visual of you washing the disciples' feet because you've washed ours. And so, God, be with us now as we continue in our service. In Jesus' name, amen. So at the Vineyard, as you know, we have a time where we reflect. Maybe it's my favorite part of the service. That I could just, it's because it's my time. And this is your time. So take your time to relax, maybe slouch a little bit in your chair, and let God, let the Holy Spirit rest on you as God shows you maybe one thing that you're supposed to do with what's been talked about. So I'll be back up in just a minute. If you're like me, you got to do something. You got to respond. there's lots of ways we can respond. One is to sing with all your heart as we move into worship, to sing to Him, to worship Him. Another way to respond is to go back to one of the boxes at the end and give as you worship. It's a form of worship. You may want to go to the cross and even kneel down before the cross. Another way is to get prayer. We have a wonderful prayer minister team at the back. And there may be some of us who need to forgive. You may need to forgive an individual, maybe the church. You know, you may need to get prayer about, well, how can I serve? I know I need to. I don't know how. What can I do? Go back for prayer. You may need to be cleansed. Maybe the world has done a number on you this week. You need to go get cleansed. So I want to encourage you to go as we worship, to go get prayer. So let's worship. Let's worship God.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and find in me thine all in all. Let's sing that again. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as
power, and I'm alone.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white. Died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Yes, Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed away. Jesus paid. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white. He washed, yes, he washed it white. He washed me white as snow. White as snow, yes, he washed me white as snow. And oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. A crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
So all the hearts.
challenge to the masses. He is God. Shout it. Go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the
together this morning, isn't it? Isn't it so good to gather? So good, yeah. You clap for that. Blessings on your heads as you go. Remember, you live in a dry and thirsty land. This week, let the living water water your souls and your hearts this week, because we need it. Blessings. We'll see you next week. Thanks for coming.